Renting is on the rise nationally, and people are waiting longer to leave the family home. That's according to Melbourne University's annual HILDA survey, which follows the lives and housing situation of people across Australia. The survey also found that rent stress, households spending more than a third of their income on rent, is at an all-time high in Sydney. I asked what this means for Sydney residents and what's causing these soaring costs for renters. Housing in Sydney is expensive. That's not news to anyone. But two new reports, the University of Melbourne's annual HILDA survey and a report by the Australian Housing and Urban Research Institute into the private rental sector, reveal the impact Sydney housing prices has on residents.
Home ownership is, which has been in gradual decline for some time, the pace of that decline has picked up and fewer people renting are making the move into home ownership.
That's Dr. Chris Martin, a fellow at the University of New South Wales's City Futures Research Centre.
Interestingly, something that HILDA showed was that the number of young people entering rental has actually declined in the youngest age group they look at, indicating that they've been, at least part of that is that they've been priced out, even of rental.
Leo Patterson-Ross, Senior Policy Officer from the Tenants Union New South Wales, says the forces driving up Sydney rent are twofold. While incentives for buying property are a factor, he says there's a cultural attitude in Australia encouraging people to buy rather than rent.
One piece of research that came out earlier this year showed that Germany, which is often sort of held up as a place where renters get a good deal, has both negative gearing and capital gains. What they don't have is this sort of cultural focus on property ownership and, frankly, banks lending ridiculous amounts of money to people in order to further that focus.
The law as well means renters are in a precarious position.
The other side is that our rental laws are essentially almost medieval, certainly they're hundreds of years old, and the concept that a landlord should be able to recover the property without any reason at all means that we have a very unstable tenancy system. In Australia, we average about 2 years for a rental, and many people have much shorter rentals. We hear all the time from people who have only been able to stay in each place for 6 months. They've had a six-month fixed-term contract, and at the end, the landlord just says, get out, and they have to find a new home.
Dr. Martin says the increase in renting rather than home ownership is partly a result of high-income people struggling to break into the housing market.
Those high-income earners who we know are renting longer are trying to save a deposit in their after-tax income. And meanwhile, households who are already wealthy in housing can use their housing wealth, their untaxed housing wealth, as the deposit for purchasing an investment property.
This means the ability to buy a house is based more on family circumstances than income.
Some people who have chosen their parents well might be able to use their parents' housing wealth to get into the housing market, but if you didn't, not even a high income in the present situation is enough to assure you that you'll be able to get into home ownership.
It's difficult to be certain from the data available, but the report released today by the Australian Housing and Urban Research Institute suggests renters may be turning to new alternatives for housing.
There is a question about whether there are more people sharing in order to deal with affordability stresses. It does appear that the sort of sharing that has changed, the sort of share housing, it used to be that you shared a house. Increasingly, people will share a room, and there might be a number of people sharing a room in an ordinary house or apartment.
Lily Bowie, a university student living in Sydney, has experience with this kind of arrangement.
So from memory, I was living with about seven girls in an apartment in the middle of the city. I think it was about a two-minute walk from UTS and a five-minute walk from UCID. And it was a two-bedroom place, gorgeous apartment, quite aesthetically pleasing, and the architecture was great. You know, you had access to pools and a gym, but it was all kind of under-the-ground management. So even anything financial was quite under the rug. So had no legal backup or anything like that.
So what's the solution? It's not just uni students, but families and people in the full-time workforce struggling to pay rent and hold on to their leases. One suggestion is ending no-grounds evictions to give tenants more stability and prevent landlords increasing rent with every new tenant. Leo says one positive move would be for the government to step in and provide more options for low-income renters.
Look, social housing is really crucial and we really do need to start valuing it. One of the things that people don't often recognise is Sydney's often touted as the second most unaffordable city in the world for housing prices, second only to Hong Kong. What people miss is that Hong Kong has 30% public housing, and that means that the people at the lower end of the income spectrum are protected from the market, and they are not trying to compete in the most unaffordable housing market in the world. They're protected from it. And so that makes a real difference to how you can make sure that people who are crucial to the running of a city, like cleaners, baristas, all sorts of retail assistants, can live close by to where their jobs and their employment are, that students can access their education opportunities, and that families can maintain their links to each other.
Leo Patterson-Ross from the Tenants Union New South Wales ending that report.